necessarily the views of WIBA, its management, sponsors, or staff. In other words, the views expressed on the following program are those of the host. Broadcasting live from Planet Madison, where everything is beyond parody, this is Upfront with Vicki McKenna, the voice of reason in a city of chaos. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll free at 877-235-1310 or email Vicki at WIBA.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
Welcome back. All right. We've got a short show tomorrow, only about an hour long. So on tomorrow's program, we're going to talk to some more county board candidates, and Tim Graham from Media Research Center will be joining me on the program as well. And it will be your last opportunity to win those Odd Couple tickets. Right now, though, we've got a couple of good guys in the studio, Don Severson and Bill Richardson, both here to talk about different things, but they're here together. And I hope you guys can just stop, you know, punching each other. In the classroom here.
We do it good-naturedly.
You know, boys will be boys. So we've got two different things to talk about. One, of course, the school budget situation, the proposed cuts, ideas like, you know, changing the school schedule for the high schools and letting school start an hour later. I'm not exactly sure exactly what that's supposed to accomplish in terms of improving education or the budget, Don, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about... The problems that there's only a few ways we can solve some of these intractable budget problems here, and I don't know if anyone's got the guts to say what needs to be said about it. So why don't you and I do it, huh? And Bill and I are going to talk about the RTA situation. Okay, so we've got basically everything on the table to cut, except
instructional resource teachers, except Fund 80. Reading recovery is on the block.
But it won't get cut. But it's on the block.
It's on the block.
Fund 80's not even on the block. Resource teacher's not even on the block. What else not on the block?
Evaluating the impact of disability.
Not even being considered?
Oh, heavens, no.
So the disability students.
And that's a union. No, not the disability students. The disability of teachers.
Oh, dear.
And the abuses thereof.
Okay, so none of the fraud abuses that might be easy to tackle. Those are pretty easy usually to tackle.
Okay. Teacher Emeritus Retirement Program, TERP, T-E-R-P.
Okay.
Evaluation, assessment, and analysis of programs, which Reading Recovery is the only one of those they did.
Okay.
I've been proffering a proposal as to how to deal and fund extracurricular activities, including athletics, for about 6 years.
We're going to talk about that. Level of administrative staff, are we looking at that?
Well, the administration proposed a restructuring, but to me all it looks like is moving some blocks around.
Okay,
some bricks.
But we're not going to look at the way we do contracting because that tends to be part of the problem why we run into some of these budget conditions.
Right.
We tend to budget ahead of time and not know exactly what it's going to look like in terms of state aid.
They passed the date opportunity to make reassignments and layoffs of administrators because the administrators in Doyle are on a 1 and 2 year revolving contract. And there are dates certain by which notices have to be given. And I was talking to the superintendent back in December and asking him what he was doing on his restructuring because he'd been talking about it but not doing anything about it. And I said, you know, you've got just over a month before you have to make decisions on staffing. And he says, oh, no, it's later than that. And I said, well, talk with your human resources director and make sure. So he got up from the table, went to the phone, found out I was right. Now, I don't know why I should be right and the superintendent not know, but...
I don't know why we shouldn't have the ability to be flexible in times of a tough economy to deal with administration contracts or teacher contracts or any of the labor issues, except that, of course, in government, the contracts cannot be messed with. In my job, I have a 3-year contract. They can terminate my 3-year contract if it's the best thing in the view of the company. There is a way they can do that, but apparently that's too difficult to even consider. We would rather consider cutting football and cheerleading and all of the stuff that everybody loves. We would rather take it out on the kids and take it out on the taxpayers versus do what every single private sector company will do. In this recession, my company laid off 1,800 people, Don. 1,800. And I think that we actually have fewer employees overall in our corporation, multi-state corporation, than the City of Madison School District has. And we laid off 1,800, and I would call them, I would say 80% of them were critical staffers.
We
managed to survive.
You'd think the sky was falling into a deep, dark hole when they're talking about maybe at the outside 250 layoffs.
Wow.
Okay, 4K is another thing that I add to your list.
4K, so we're going to go forward with 4K, not just take 4K off the list because, of course, there's some federal money there, and we've got a coupon. So because we've got a coupon, we're gonna start up a program we can't really afford.
Right.
Right.
Increase class sizes.
We wouldn't do that. Everybody hates that, right? Though.
Yeah, but on what basis?
But then again, everybody hates when you threaten to cut their kids' football program.
Yeah.
Increase class sizes. There is no data showing that those decreased class sizes have overall improved the efficacy of instruction in Madison schools. We've got the Wisconsin Knowledge and Concepts test to prove that. All right, what else?
Let's stop there.
Okay.
Hey, can I ask a quick question? That Fund 80, I know a lot of people are not up on these issues like you are. What is Fund 80?
It's formally or publicly known as the Madison School and Community Recreation Program.
Oh, those are the after school and evening.
After school, evening, both. Some of it's for students. Most of it is for adults.
Yeah, I remember I took volleyball that way.
Supposedly fee based, but not cost neutral. They're proposing now that they would increase fees by 70%. Well, that's quicksand, frankly, because if they raise the fees by 70%. What usually happens to participation levels?
Usually goes down quite a bit.
So then you're still left with all the contracts on fields and facilities, administration.
And this is not under the revenue cap, too. Fund 80,
that's
the
right.
MSCR fund is not under the revenue cap.
But it is a tax levy.
And they do tax us, and they don't have to ask us to do it. They just do it.
That's right. There's $8 million on the tax levy in Fund 80.
Wow.
And that's something that I would propose that the Board of Education drop, except for the student after school programs. I think those are necessary, but all the adult stuff. We're only one of five or six school districts in the state of Wisconsin that runs community recreation programs.
Otherwise, they're run by the city.
They're all run by the city, village, town, or whatever. That's been true here for 80 years. But do we always have to do it the way we've always done it, but spend more money on it?
Well,
you know, that's what our whole mantra is here.
Now that we're in times, tough times, and we've got problems, we got to start making some hard decisions. If we don't make them now, we're not going to make them ever. City of Madison should be taking care of adult community recreation services. School system makes more sense that they're just taking care of student services, and let's stop with the fudging of what student services really means.
We can't even do the job that we're constitutionally required to do, K-12, and do it well, and yet we want to do all these other things for adults, for pre-kindergarten, for whatever, you name it.
Something else we can do is look at finding savings with health contracts and the benefit system as well, and the teachers' contracts and the administrators' contracts. All of these things are places we need to go before we start threatening to take away cheerleading, before we start threatening to take away football,
mm-hmm.
before we start threatening to take away, you know, language classes that kids like and they benefit from, before we start punishing taxpayers and students. Let's go back and find some of the easy places we can go that don't affect students and don't affect taxpayers. We're too terrified, Don, and that really is the problem. The school board's too scared. The superintendent is too scared to stand up to powerful entrenched special interests in the city of Madison who have gotten away with forcing us to write bigger checks for lousier results on our kids' tests. For years.
Exactly.
And years.
And we don't plan ahead.
We don't talk about closing buildings. We don't talk about doing anything that any normal company in America would do to rein in costs.
Yeah, but we hurt the children.
No, you don't hurt the children by telling.
That's what I say. We're hurting the children this way.
Exactly. You don't hurt the kids by negotiating administration contracts in a way that makes sense with the budgeting process. So we're done with the contracts. Now we're doing the budget. We're locked into that contract. We can't do a damn thing about it now, and we can't do anything about it for 2 years. Now we get to do the budget. We don't know what the state aids are going to be. We're going to do the budget. We'll have to readjust that budget once we find out that the state of Wisconsin has decided to flip the bird to the city of Madison on state aids.
You know what? We did get our aids cut by 15%. $9 million for this school year and $7 million for next year, or almost $8 million. And you know who did that?
Jim Doyle!
The people who were elected by the residents in our area who are representatives in the state legislature.
And the people in our area, in case you didn't know what letter is after their name, it's D.
Are we talking Pocan and Moore?
We're talking about the Democrat-controlled state legislature, yeah, who is essentially telegraphing the message, your rich uncle is dead, in the form of school aids. So listening to that whining and that jabber-jawing, this has been a trend for a while. And it is going to be a trend that continues as the state of Wisconsin decides to spend itself into oblivion. It's going to find places to go that are not politically difficult places to go. And one of the places to go is cutting school aids for Madison, Wisconsin, because we're a property wealthy district here.
Yeah, one of the problems I have with the issue of, well, we can't do this because it'll hurt the kids. Excuse me. The same people, board members, administration, parents, complain about the soft discrimination of low expectations. You know, we can't expect some of these kids to learn because. Well, they're playing the same game over money. We can't cut those programs because it'll hurt the kids. And you know what? When you have expectations that it ain't it awful, and you have expectations that it won't work, guess what? It won't work.
I sure am trying to figure out how cutting loose Fund 80 and letting the city of Madison deal with it is going to hurt the kids.
No, but you know, it's interesting.
Or how doing administrative contracts more effectively going to hurt the kids.
Those adults who are in those sports and activities, you know what they'll do? They'll find a way to do it anyway.
Yeah, YMCA, there's private
Exactly! Yeah. And you know what? Some of the fat on the programs that aren't nearly as popular might have to go away, because ultimately the city is going to make the determination and how much money it's going to set aside for MSCR. And because you have a much more responsive political environment at the city, you will absolutely see some better management. I can't even believe I'm saying the city of Madison will manage money better than the school board, but it will. All right, we'll come back here in just a second. All right, we're going to come back. Bill Richardson and Don Severson is going to stick around in the studio as well. So we ask you to stick around too. 321-1310 or toll free 877-235-1310 if you'd like to chime in. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA. All right, we are back. Bill Richardson is in here. Don Severson's going to stay for another break. Both mics open, please, Brent. Thank you very much. Before we get into our discussion about Randall O'Toole coming into town, you can come see him as well. Anybody but me just flabbergasted that the county executive is trying to use coercion and bribes to get people to donate organs in a very discriminatory fashion?
I am. That's not charity. That's coercion.
It's coercion. So basically, you can get time off, up to a month of time off, if you agree to donate an organ.
Yeah, but whose money is being spent for that person to take
time
off?
Well, mine. Yeah. And here's the thing. So people with religious objections are going to be discriminated against. People who are too old to donate organs are going to be discriminated against. People who just choose not to are going to be discriminated against. And someone needs to be prepared, if in fact this policy passes, to claim discrimination, because it's overtly discriminatory, and it is overtly coercive. And I am 100% in favor of organ donation. 100 and 200%, if there is such a thing. But this is just, this is crazy.
Yeah, that's coming before the county board, I think, this week.
It is. It's going to result in a lawsuit that our tax money is going to have to support as well. Mm-hmm. It is going to result in a lawsuit. And if it doesn't, it's just going to be a matter of time, you know, right away, but before it does. I just, I mean, what other madness are they going to come up with?
And speaking of madness, going back to what Don was talking about, the school board with this huge deficit, why are they going ahead with the new program if you have this huge deficit? And they want to have a K-4 new program, 4K, excuse me. I don't have the technology. Or, I mean, I don't have the terminology. Why are they going ahead with a brand new program if they don't have the money?
Because they want to.
And they have a coupon.
And a credit card.
And a credit card, known as you and I. Taxpayer. That's what they do. These are like, this is the excuse. Oh, well, we got federal money. It's a coupon. We are going to be the ones responsible for the program in perpetuity. But we got a coupon.
Yeah,
we can't afford. You know what? If I had a coupon to go shopping at Neiman Marcus, I wouldn't go. Because I don't care if I get 50% off. I'm still not going to be able to afford the $2,000 handbag.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing here with the train as well. We got a coupon, Bill. The federal government, if in fact they can lie and say that there's support here for this train, and they've got their RTA funding stream in place, basically the feds will give us a coupon. But we're going to be responsible for everything in perpetuity, even including 50% quite likely of the capital cost, which is why we're hearing it's a $250 million project.
That's right. And actually, that's half of that $255 million is what they're going for from the feds.
It's a coupon.
Yeah.
Well, and if it doesn't work, we pay it back with penalty and interest.
That's correct.
That's true. A lot of people are not aware of that.
Can't take it back.
That you, if you go into a commuter rail system or any kind of rail system and you take federal dollars, there's all kinds of strings that go along with it. One of which is you cannot shut down the system unless you're willing to repay all that federal funds.
And then some. And then penalties.
Right.
This is, remember when people used to complain about the restocking fee at the big box stores?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they only charge you the restocking fee. They didn't make you pay back everything of the coupon that you got and the sale price on the product in the first place. This is worse than the restocking fee, and people actually were willing to walk and march on the Capitol to get rid of the restocking fee at big box stores. All right, so we got a coupon for this. It's ridiculously expensive. It will smell. It will be noisy.
It'll stop traffic.
It will stop traffic.
Cause congestion.
Cause congestion. And it will cost us more money than any of us are being told right now, including startup costs, which were generated. When were those numbers done? Was that 06?
Yeah, they were. And actually, that 255 is actually around $315 million now, because that was a couple of years ago.
All right, so we're not going to use 255 anymore. Let's use $315 million. And of course, what we have learned from our good friends like Tom Rubin, Randall O'Toole, who's coming to Madison, Wendell Cox, is that they usually underestimate the cost of these projects, you know, by between a third and half.
Yeah, usually over 40%. Like the one up in Minnesota, the Hiawatha, was 40% over their estimated budget. And that cost $713 million in 2001. In today's dollars, that'd be close to $1 billion.
And no one wants it. Now, we've got, I've talked to a number of our candidates for county board, and to a person. It's either one or two, and it's usually one, RTA, the commuter rail. That's either the first or the second most important issue that our candidates are hearing about when they're doing doors.
That really surprised me because they've been trying to keep this under the radar for 2 years now. But people are aware of what's going on, and they're saying, wow, we're in a recession. We should not be spending $315 million on a brand-new program that's going to just suck money out of the county forever. You know, I mean, it's just like the school program, adding a brand new program. Why would you add a brand new rail system that very few people are going to ride? Even they don't claim many people are going to ride it.
When that's the truth.
Yeah.
They don't even claim. They'll say, oh, yes, this will be very popular. And then you ask them for the numbers, and they got to give you the honest numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a couple of thousand people. And that's an overestimate. The reason we know that, there is a very popular rail line that runs from Virginia to D.C., and they don't get that many people per day running from one of the key areas that funnels workers into the Washington, D.C. area. So it is quite unlikely that we're going to see the very impressive couple of thousand per day riders that they are predicting for us at a subsidized cost of our friend Randall, you know, helped to, and Tom Rubin did as well, helped us to find the cost of the subsidy. $65 per rider versus $125 for the bus.
Buck and a half, actually.
Buck and a half now? All right, that, again.
And, but that's
$2,010, buck and a half.
Right, yeah. Randall's new book is called Gridlock, Why We're Stuck in Traffic and What to Do About It. He just finished it at the end of last year. And he's going to be here on March 24th, and he'll be up at Wanakee at noon at the community center. And these are free. And I know that Eileen Bruskowitz has invited a lot of other Rotaries and civic groups to come to that. And then at 5:30, what time is that? He's at 5:30 at the engineering campus. What room is that, Vicki?
That is room 1106.
1106. That's on the engineering campus. And there is some parking around there.
There's actually pretty good parking over there.
Yeah.
You can find parking over there. University of Wisconsin Engineering Campus, room 1106, 5:30 on Wednesday, and then noon at the Wanakee Rotary.
That's correct. Okay. Wanakee Community Center.
Wanakee Community Center. Randall O'Toole's been on this program many, many times.
He's a great guy.
He has explicitly decided to look into our issue here in Dane. He will be talking about our issues in addition to his books and whatnot. And he does this because we ask him to. He doesn't, you know, he's, you know, people say, well, he's just, you know, he's a paid shill. No, he's not. He probably would like to be, but he's not. He does this because he sees things that don't make sense. And because he is a very passionate advocate for two things. Public transportation that works.
Right.
And common sense transportation options for other people.
Right. Transportation systems that actually work, yeah. Whether it's cars or bikes or whatever it happens to be, making sure they're efficient and they serve people rather than just building something because your ego wants it built.
Or you got a coupon.
Well, you know, Frank Buzalaki calls the federal dollars at $820 million. That's a down payment on high-speed rail. He calls that manna from heaven.
That's manna.
Yeah, that's
really?
Manna from heaven. I call that manna for money from every manna and woman in Wisconsin.
Hold on a second. Manna from heaven.
That's what he's quoted as saying.
Okay, so it magically came from God.
That's what he said.
It magically conjured. God himself conjured this and gave it to Wisconsin so Jim Doyle could blow money on an Amtrak rail that nobody's going to ride. And then this other monies that we are looking to get by the creation of the unelected, unaccountable regional taxing authority, presumably also manna, magically conjured?
Well, Frank hasn't declared that manna yet, but maybe if they get the money, he will.
And I believe you're referring to the Secretary of the Department of Transportation, who is Doyle's man.
Yeah, manna.
Right, Wisconsin DOT, that's right. Yeah, Frank
Buzalaki. Magically conjured from God himself.
Right, and it is confusing because there's two different systems here. It's all coming out of our pockets, but one is a commuter rail, which will go about 26 miles an hour from Middleton to the town of Burke.
Which will stink and be loud and cause traffic congestion and reduce property values and cost us sales tax increase, a number of other tax increases over time, no doubt. And then there's that Amtrak, that's what I call it, the Amtrak car speed rail proposal that goes from Milwaukee to the airport.
Right, yeah. And that will divide all those little towns between here and Milwaukee also. They will close down several streets in every one of those little towns also. Yeah.
And we're going to pay for it.
Yes,
at least, you know, Frank Buzalaki, Mr. Manna from Heaven, at least they're being a little bit more honest. They're getting close to the $1 trillion we would expect a project like that to cost. I'll bet you our program... it's $1 billion. I'll bet you our rail comes in somewhere around $1 billion if this thing gets built, Bill.
And just for the commuter rail.
Just for the commuter rail here in Dane County. Just for the stinky one that's going to reduce property values and make us all wait in traffic and hate life. Bill Richardson, thank you. Randall O'Toole will be here on Wednesday. That is coming up. Write that down on your calendar. But even more importantly, guys, coming up on Monday is the school budget hearing that you can attend Monday. Hearings at 2300 South Park Street. That's the Villager Mall location, 2300 South Park Street, for the school board. And maybe if you show up, they'll actually start making some common sense decisions for a change. We'll take a quick break. Out of time. Tomorrow, what do we have? We have hockey practically all day. Sweet. So we'll be on at about 5. Tim Graham will be on the program, a couple of county board candidates as well. We're going to give away stuff. It's not even going to make it work for it tomorrow. We're just going to give stuff away. So we only got an hour, right? Shimming will be here. Have a good one, folks. See you later. This is News Talk 1310.